Welcome and good morning. This is North Shore Today. I'm Rick Moore. Bill Newell is unavailable today, but he will be back hosting the program tomorrow. And today we'll take a look at a couple of quick stories on the North Shore, and then we'll get to some terrific interviews that Bill has put together. Be talking some sports as well. Looks like a great weekend. Looks like warm weather continues. Temperatures in the upper 60s on the North Shore. So it should be terrific for football on Friday night. And don't forget our broadcast game, of course, will be Everett at Peabody, 7 p.m. on msonewsports.com. Should be a terrific one. More on that in just a little while. And again, just to recap, in Gloucester, Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken back at work, and she is no longer the interim mayor, but now she is the mayor-elect and mayor in her own right. Also, a story out of Salem today that you might want to take a look at. Salem News is reporting that there is a recount in process, or at least it's being sought, as a school board member Jared Hockman is asking for a recount following his four-vote loss to Ed Charest in the Ward 4 race for city council. So apparently he told the Salem News he was confident, in fact, that he had won Tuesday's vote. And meanwhile, Ward 1 council candidate in Salem, Brian Barrett, who lost to John Turco by just 9 votes, has not indicated if he will seek a recount as well. And we've got some stories coming out of Lynn, as Bill Newell will be talking to the big winner in the Lynn City election, Brian LaPierre. Also talk with the Daily Item editor, Steve Krause. That's coming up today on North Shore Today. So please stay with us.
We begin this clip with Brian LaPierre gathering his family on Walnut Street for their second standout of the day, thanking voters for his big election win in the city of Lynn as he topped the councilor-at-large race as a first-time citywide candidate by some 1,000 votes, gathering over 5,000 votes in the election. Brian LaPierre joining us, and then right after that, we'll hear from Steve Krause, the news editor of the Daily Item in Lynn. This is just a very short clip with Brian LaPierre.
Well, Brian, first of all, you topped the ticket, and I think you surpassed people by, first of all, getting one of the top four slots, but then topping the ticket by 1,000 votes.
It was an amazing evening last night, Bill. You know, my group was working all day long, and, you know, we like you say, you referred to the topping of the ticket. We had such a strong showing throughout all 28 precincts of Lynn, you know, carrying 26 out of 28 precincts, over 5,600 votes citywide. First-time candidate like myself, nothing but honor, nothing but pride. The Lynn voters really came out for me in droves and understood our message, and we're connecting with Lynners throughout the campaign. It was really a great feeling. I'm really humbled and honored.
Let me ask you, looking around at any of the other election results, whether they be the single council races or the council the councilor-at-large race or the school committee, is there anything that stands out to you other than your victory? And or have you had time to think about it?
Well, you know, just quickly analyzing some of the numbers right here in Ward 7 where we are this afternoon, that's the Walnut Street area into Veterans Village and along the Boston Street corridor. We did extremely well. There was a heated ward council race here with two great candidates. Jay Walsh prevailed, who's a Labor friend of mine, and we were able to get our message out and get that vote out. I think getting the vote out, particularly in a non-mayoral year for Lynn elections, is critical, and trying to get that turnout up and get your people out, you know, when we have a lower than usual turnout. I think it was only about 22% across the city, yeah, with a great 70-degree sunny day. So we were very thrilled to get our vote out yesterday amongst every precinct in Lynn virtually.
Let me ask you this. There's a sentiment, you know, the politics national. There's a sentiment of somebody that's not in, an outsider going inside. Now, I wouldn't call you a real outsider, but you are an outsider for this race. And you saw it in a council race in Boston, too. Two councilors taken out in the election on Tuesday. Did you sense any of that kind of feeling around it all?
You know, it's hard to say. Like you say, you know, we're very, thank you. Sorry. When we took a look at this race, you know, it is my first time running citywide. It's a huge city. I underestimated the scope and scale of this city, but being able to knock it and walk it and get myself familiar with voters, I think, really helped us as we headed into the fall months. I've been at this an awful long time, Bill, getting my name and building my name recognition. But ultimately, you're right. There is that national trend for a new guy or a new woman to come in and be a political leader. I view myself as a neighborhood guy, and I'm just honored to be, you know,
they're yelling at Brian as they go by.
It's a wonderful feeling, a tremendous feeling. I'm looking forward to serving every resident that I spoke with that needs something. They can call on me, and I'm very accessible, and I look forward to serving them in January of 16.
I think they were yelling for the guy with Brian. That's who they were yelling at. Okay. All right, Brian, congratulations.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Brian LaPierre topping the ticket in the Lynn Councilor-at-Large race in the Tuesday election. Time now for our weekly visit with Steve Krause, news editor of the Daily Item in Lynn. And Steve, we're coming off this week's election here on the North Shore. Some big news in communities that you cover in Lynn, Saugus, and Peabody. Let's begin with Lynn. And I think the story out of Tuesday's election out of Lynn was Brian LaPierre, his first place finish by quite a bit, a newcomer topping the councilor-at-large race.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, he started, I can remember two years ago seeing Brian and his wife at the World Series parade after the Red Sox won, and he was talking about running even back then. So he's done a lot of work. He started early. He got his, I mean, by the time the election rolled around, anybody who was paying attention knew who he was. And, you know, hard work paid off in his case, and I'm happy for him. I don't know if it's all that surprising that it's in a race where there's an open seat, the challenger ends up doing well. He's a new face. Gets people out to vote. He did an awful lot of work in Ward 7, which, because of the hot ward race between Brian Field and Jay Ward, probably had the highest turnout in the city. You know, he obviously anticipated that, and he made hay. Yeah. You know, all I can say is good for him. You know, if hard work is the only criterion in winning an election, well, he certainly did his work. But he's also a pretty, he's a competent guy. He's danced this dance before, you know. It's just been a while.
Yeah, so don't know if you want to follow up on the councilor-at-large race or go ahead to the school committee or the ward races, but basically incumbents in the councilor-at-large and on the school committee, they're all back. No one got kind of, you know, taken out of office.
No, and that would indicate to me that the people who voted, and there are only but 22% of them who did, which I find very disappointing, by and large are happy with the way things are going, at least electorally, in the city. I'm going to leave it up to the individual voters and citizens to determine whether that's good or bad, but I guess you can't argue the fact that this is a pretty good validation of the course the city is taking, both with the school committee and with the council.
Yeah. And I don't. Do you want to jump to Saugus now, or? Let's go to Saugus, because in Saugus, I'm less familiar with Saugus in the sense that, but all the selectmen are back, right?
Yeah, and personally, I think that is an overwhelming validation of the process that got them into office in March, the recall. Even though Deborah Panetta wasn't part of that whole thing, she was the only holdover, the only one who didn't get recalled. She wasn't even part of the thing anyway. She was the one select woman who wasn't targeted. They have worked as a pretty good team since they got in. And I'm sure that there are large pockets of people over there who still kind of resent the whole process, and that's obviously, you can't keep that from happening. But at the same time, I had a lot of trouble envisioning any of them losing. And of course they didn't, and they won easily. And, you know, I think that indicates, again, you know, the same as in Lynn, that, you know, they're happy, you know, about the way, the direction the town has taken under the stewardship of these five selectmen. You know, and again, in the all incumbents swept in, there were only two Saugus school committee members who were running for re-election, and they both won. You know, and then they have three more. There were going to be three newbies over there regardless of what, because there were three open seats. And I think the biggest noteworthy thing about the school committee in Saugus was that one of the ones who won was Peter Manoogian, and he may be a newcomer this time, but he's certainly no newcomer to the Saugus political scene.
Yeah.
You know, Linda Gayeski and Elizabeth Marchese, that, well, you know, that's a different thing entirely. They are new, but there is nothing new about Manoogian. He's new to this, but there's nothing new about him.
Steve, before jumping to Peabody, you know, with incumbents holding office across the board, if you will, and even though Saugus incumbents haven't been there for all that long, there doesn't appear to, I mean, I'm not seeing what the issue is for challengers other than to maybe be on to the council or be on the board of selectmen or be on the school committee. Were there issues that you felt were rippling around either the city of Lynn or Saugus that, you know, prompted runs by candidates?
It's a good question you ask, and the answer to that in a big picture is no. You know, there may be issues with everybody that they have, but in terms of one overriding issue that they could have been a referendum on, no. I think the only real referendum, if you want to call it that, might have been the five Saugus selectmen, because if you voted not to recall and you were still sort of steaming about the whole process, well, you had your chance to go to the polls and vote them out, and you didn't. So other than that, I don't see that there was any overriding issue that would have gotten people to the polls, which probably, as much as anything, explains the 22% turnout, too. You know, there was no real reason not to elect any of these. I mean, yeah, you might not like one person or the other because of any individual vote that they might have taken, but, you know, Saugus, the only issue with the schools is schools. Should there be a new school? And I think anybody that's been over there and has seen Saugus High, there has to be a yes. So the only issue was, should it be one school from grade 6 through, or should it be separate high schools? And I don't see that as an issue that's going to make people go out to the polls. And in Lynn, I mean, it wasn't a sexy issue. I mean, you know, there's zoning and there's the whole plan for the downtown and Boston Street. You know, that's not going to get somebody riled up to go and vote. And same thing with the school committee. It's not that there aren't issues. There wasn't one central issue that opponents could coalesce around, and you know what I'm saying?
No, I do, and I like actually your explanation for the councilor at large race, because, and when you follow it up with your last response, Steve, is that in Lynn, you know, the challenger, Brian LaPierre, or one of the challengers, tops the ticket by 1,000 votes, but yet when you think about it, yeah, if I've been in Lynn and I'm voting, you know, maybe there's one counselor that I'm going to not give my vote to, but I'm going to give it to somebody else, one of the challengers. But all those, your four votes get split among all these different people. So I can see what might have happened, as you're pointing out, is that, you know, LaPierre didn't have any baggage, so to speak. He's coming in as a fresh, new, energetic face. And maybe these guys, maybe somebody's saying, well, you know, I'll give it to Tim Phelan or to Rick Starbard, those guys kind of spread those votes out.
There's one other thing to consider, too, and that is Hong Nett, who got on again to re-election. He's a Westland guy. He's a Ward 7 guy. So, again, you attribute a lot of that to the fact that what was the one hot ward race in the city? It was Ward 7, two new people filling a vacant seat. Had the highest turnout of any ward in the city, and who benefits from that? The West Lynn guy, yeah. As opposed to Tim Phelan, who's a Ward 1 guy.
You know, and I looked very quickly in the paper on Wednesday, Steve, in the item, and you think the Ward 1 numbers for Phelan would be better, but I just very quick checked just a handful of precincts, and I mean just a handful, one handful, and they weren't, you know, he didn't pull out like you might have expected in Ward 1.
Unopposed ward councilor race in Ward 1. That explains an awful lot. I mean, if I don't like Tim Phelan, I always shouldn't even say if I don't like him. If he's not the guy that's going to get me to go to the polls,
yeah.
And I know that my ward councilor is unopposed, and I know that there really isn't anybody either running in the school committee or who's already there that I feel strongly enough about that I'm going to go out and either vote in or vote out, yeah. I'm not going to go. And you know, from a Tim Phelan standpoint, sorry, Tim, you know, and I'm not saying that to knock Tim. I'm just saying that I think that, you know, if there's any lesson to be learned about this election, at least where I sit, is four ward council seats unopposed. You know, and I don't, and I know that, I'll just take the example of Ward 6 in Lynn. Peter Capano's been there forever. He does a pretty good job. He's a good guy. You know, there's nothing the matter with Pete Capano. Yeah. But I don't think anybody's immune to being challenged. And I think there's if there's a lesson, it's like a lot of lessons. Everything is interconnected. Everything, you know, there's a reason that if A happens, B's going to happen. And, you know, this is a perfect example of that.
Well, let's just jump to Peabody.
Let's do that.
Quickly. Mm-hmm. And I guess there are a couple of ward races that were close in Peabody.
There are only two contested wards. And both of those, the margin of victory was single digits. Which, I mean, you go back to your old mantra about every vote counting. In both of these instances, there were more blanks than accounted to the margin of victory. Why would anybody go vote in the ward race and then blank the ballot? I don't get that, unless they really had strong feelings against both the candidates. But the bottom line is, you know, in both of these cases, there are probably going to be recounts, and maybe some of those blanks weren't blanks. I mean, that's probably one of the first things they look at, is maybe the things weren't filled in all the way or something like that. But I just don't see, if you're going to go through the trouble of voting, why would you blank your ward councilor race?
No, I know. I mean, you would think if you had the interest to go out and vote for your councilor at large race, you know, that they had in Peabody, then whatever. There wasn't a race for mayor, you know. Right. That wasn't really a race, so.
No, and again, you know, that kind of drives, I think the mayoral thing kind of drives the participation anyway. You know, we didn't have one either. We have a four-year mayor. So the 22% that we got in Lynn is almost exactly the same as it was 4 years ago, the last time this happened.
Yeah.
Even in the mayoral election in Lynn 2 years ago, it was only in the 30s. I'm not exactly sure what the official number was, but I think at some point, you know, not just here, but in this country, at some point, people are just going to have to wake up and just and take the time it takes to vote, you know. It angers me that people don't vote because, you know, there are other places in the world where people die, you know, for the right to vote. And here we are over here, you know, walking around like it's some huge, you know, burden to go and vote. I just don't get that.
No, I hear you. All right, Steve, we'll wrap it up on that note, that positive note from you, that bright, sunny note as we wrap up an election. Steve, you're not looking at the 22%, you're looking at the 78%. That's the way to look at it, right?
I think so. I mean, you know, I'd like it to be 100%, but, you know, over 50 would be a start.
All right, Steve, thanks for your time, and we'll check in with you again soon.
Thank you, Bill.
Steve Krause, news editor of the Daily Item in Lynn, here on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, North Shore Today continues, and in sports, we get a report from Scott Cooper. We'll have a video up tomorrow, probably today on Thursday. Marblehead High School beating Linfield 2-1 in a shootout in tournament action yesterday, and I believe that is in field hockey. We'll check with Scott. We'll have that up on the website. Also, Bill Newell has a feature with Leah Gunner. Now, she is the Masconomet field hockey coach. She's the coach of the year in the Cape Ann League, and the Chieftains have won four straight Cape Ann League titles. They will be playing Haverhill on Thursday, that's today, at 2:30.
Masconomet field hockey coach Leah Gunner is with us, and Coach Gunner and her team were champions of the Cape Ann League this year in field hockey, getting ready for the tournament to start on Thursday. So, Coach Gunner, tell us a little bit about this year's season at Masconomet. What were some of the highlights?
So we actually just picked up kind of right where we left off in the previous season, and we kind of hit the ground running with returning players, especially our returning seniors. And we really knew that we had some tough competition coming into the season with teams such as Traydon, Manchester Essex, North Andover, and Chelmsford. But we took each game one step at a time and focused on the skills that we needed for each game and prepared mentally for one game rather than looking at the end, and it worked in our favor this year.
Well, as we were talking before we started this, you guys have won four straight titles now with this win championship this year, and you could pick up Coach of the Year honors. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Tell us, was there like a defining game for you as a coach that you said, well, we kind of have it going now, or this is kind of what I'm hoping for with this team? Was there one or two games like that this year where that happened for you?
I think our games against Triton were really a tough matchup. They had really strong forwards and a midfield line, so it really put our defense to the test, and we came up with two wins over Triton, which was huge for us. In addition to that, we also played Manchester Essex, and again, we came out with a tie, 0-0, but I think it showed some of our strengths in adapting and changing maybe our style a little bit and trying different things on the field that we would see later on in the state tournament. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me about some of your key players, if you will. I know it's a team sport, so there's a number of them, but who are the players that you've been really relying on this year?
Yeah, we really emphasize the team, and we really utilize every player on the field. So it definitely is a team, but I would say that our three captains have really helped get the team motivated every game and really stepped up big for us. So Tessa Ives as our center back, Nell Criscione as our back line too, and then Catherine McVeigh on the midfield line. They really just help move the ball on the field, and they see the game really well, which helps our offensive attack mode and then also defensively. So they've stepped up huge. And then again, just other seniors that on the field, Abby Campbell, just great improvement from the off season into the season. And then Sophie Adams, the same thing, returning to that forward line to generate that offense for us.
Let me just follow up. You may have already answered this in part, but how about a player? Was there any player or a couple of players that kind of stepped up and improved during the year, maybe a little bit more than expected for you this year?
I think Julia Herden is one of our seniors that really stepped up for us. She's really that utility player, and she'd go anywhere at practice and practice midfield defensively and offensively for us, and she does it all with a smile on her face, and she does it well. She takes the constructive feedback well and then uses it to help the team. So really definitely a team player. And then I would have to say Lauren McCormick stepped up big for us this year too, just continuously working hard at practice and pushing our forwards with a strong defensive stance. So those two players definitely have worked really hard throughout the season and continue to keep on improving for us.
All right, so it's Haverhill coming up Thursday afternoon, 2:30 at Masco. And what do you know about Haverhill?
I know that they're a tough team. Again, they got into the tournament. They've had tough games, opponents. I looked at the brackets online, and again, they played some tough teams. And other than that, we're just excited to step on the field tomorrow and give our best effort and leave it all on the field tomorrow and really put our best team forward.
Yeah.
And make it happen.
Gotcha. All right, Masconomet Field Hockey, is there anything else I didn't ask you about this team that you think is kind of special, unique, something that you're proud of about this team that I didn't ask you about?
I'm really proud of the way our team has come together during the season. It's a great group of girls. They're wonderful. And again, we were awarded the Sportsmanship Award, and I always stress character is more important than the sportsmanship. So that was a great honor to receive as a team, and I think that really embodies what our players are on the field. They play, they have fun, and they reach out to other players on other teams, and I think that's what it's really all about, is enjoying the game and getting better. So that's great to see.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, Leah, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck in the tournament game on Thursday at home against Haverhill.
All right, thank you.
Leah Gunner, the field hockey coach at Masconomet High School and also the Cape Henley Coach of the Year here on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, there you have it, North Shore Today. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back probably around 8 o'clock when these things get posted with Bill Newell hosting. And again, don't forget with sports, we've got huge sports action coming up on Friday night. Big screen TV over at Sylvan Street Grill. It will be Everett at Peabody in Division I playoff action in football, MIAA football. That'll be Friday night. Really looking forward to that one. We'll have reports out of Marblehead as well, as Gloucester is at Marblehead, and Paul Ingram will be sending in some reports to us that we'll get on the air for you. And we'll be checking, of course, the other action all during the weekend. So that's coming up this weekend. Football on MSONewsSports.com. North Shore Today, tomorrow. Oh, don't forget, on Friday also, we'll have Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and Josh has got a bunch of people lined up for that program as well at 10 a.m. right here on MSONewsSports.com. So that's it for now. This is North Shore Today.